got a video recorded. I'll try to find some of this song.
Yeah.
I got a few, Bluetooth. What's that thing that goes on in your two windows?
Soundbar.
Soundbar.
Yeah.
Stacy needed to put that for
her. Yeah.
And it might sound good.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. I was witnessing to one of the guys who started working with us. I asked him how he's going to get to heaven. He said he got sprinkled or something. I can't remember what he
did. I sprinkled salt with my rice and peas.
That don't mean to say that. That might save you your hunger.
Yeah. Save your appetite.
I gave him the gospel.
Yeah.
The other guy's like, said, you don't need to take one of those perfect gifts tests. Yours is evangelism. Sometimes you just got to hammer down.
Yeah.
People
look at you like you're
crazy or something. I might be a little crazy.
Well, they call it foolishness. You know?
Yeah, the foolishness of preaching, God saves souls. If he didn't say it was foolishness. Singing is good. I like singing, but it ain't just singing. It's there to preach from God's word.
Yeah.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's take our hymn books and turn to page number 212. Page number 212. Oh, happy day. And let's when we get to the list stand, please.
You got your money, bro.
Oh, happy day. That fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Number two. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to him who merits all my love. Let triple anthem fill his house while to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Number three. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me in, I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to walk and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Number four. Now rest my long divided heart fixed on this blissful center rest, nor ever from my Lord depart with him of every good possessed. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, I just want to thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all your blessings, Lord. Do thank you for your word, Lord, and how we can lean on you, Lord, even through troubled times, and how you can comfort us, Lord, and regardless of the situations that's going on. I do pray for the ones that are sick, Lord, not able to make it here today. I pray that they're watching on YouTube, Lord, and you'll touch them and help them feel better, Lord. I pray for anybody lost today, Lord, that come to know you as their Savior. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 You may be seated. Let's turn to page number 245. The old account was settled. We're singing for the reason of the Christmas season. He came to die for our sins.
There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins that are forgiven. My name was at the top with many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah! And the record is clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, the old account was large and growing every day. For I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah! And the record is clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was so long ago. Number 3. When in that happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption story and praise him for his love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah! And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago. Number 4. Oh, sinner, seek the Lord, repent of all your sins, for thus he hath commanded for you to enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it. You settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah! And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago.
Amen. Amen and amen. Well, it's a blessing to be here today. I apologize having technical difficulties. More reason than ever to get 1,000 subscribers. We're at 128. I had contacted Brother Ed in the Philippines and told him we needed some Filipino subscribers. And so we're up to 128 right now. And I know you're going, preacher, we're still a long ways away. Get out there, promote it, let others know. If you've got contact with anyone, listen, we need subscribers. My data is up on my phone, and even we were trying to Bluetooth through Jacobs or hotspot through Jacobs. And so we've got plenty of data, and I believe it's the hand of Satan that's trying to discourage. But nonetheless, we are up and running. I'm thankful for that. I really see running through a third party as a lot of our difficulty. We've got to go to them so that they can get it up in the air, and it's just a whole lot of things we can't see. And so do encourage you to promote and continue to let folks know. I'm thankful for 128 subscribers, but I'd sure like to see 1,000, so that all we've got to do is push a button and we can go on and hopefully get rid of some of the technical difficulties. Amen. Well, I want to thank everyone, ask you to continue to pray for the safety. I seen Brother Sutton said that they're on, and I'm glad to see that they're all still doing well. Of course, they are quarantining. Brother Sutton had made it back Tuesday from his travel. I thought it was going to be last Sunday, but it was not until Tuesday that he came back. And so do continue to pray for them and their safety. I'm glad to hear that they're doing well. I do encourage you as well to remember, we come in, we go home, go to our pews. I know it seems cold. I know it seems different. I really kind of liked it this morning. There was enough of us in here. We were just kind of all having a group conversation. It was nice and able to be a family that way. Even Brother Richard got here early enough that he could be a part of it. Amen. And listen, I know God's going to do great things today. You say, how's that? Brother Richard was here early. Amen. And I like to pick at him, but I'm thankful for him stepping in. Do pray for Brother Russell. Brother Russell had texted me this morning, said that his foot's so swollen he can't hardly put a shoe on. And so do keep him in prayer. And listen, I'm thankful for what God's still doing. You know, we are not out of the woods. We've got to be wise. We know that it's real. Do pray. From what I had heard, Jonathan had told us the other day that Brother Darrell Weaver and his wife have COVID. And so pray for them through this as well. Not good for them. So do keep them in prayer. And there's a lot of need there. But I do praise the Lord that we've been safe here. God's kept us safe and prevented us and protected us. And by the way, even if we do end up getting it, praise the Lord, he's still going to take care of us. He's still good. Amen. And he still is God. Amen. And please, as well, I know that we're in the sick season. You say, preacher, I don't have COVID. I'm just sick. Stay at home just for precaution's sake. I want you to think about your immune system. And once you get wore down and once it gets weak, that you can get others, that you can get sick as well from other things. And so do be wise with that. Do want to remind you, we've got the revival coming up at the 3rd through the 15th of January. The 3rd through the 15th. Say, preacher, how's this going to work? We've got strings dividing everything up. Well, I'm praying that the faithful are still going to be faithful, and the ones that have been watching on YouTube are still going to watch on YouTube. Amen. And I'm not trying to be mean with that, but I'm not opening it up to all the other churches. Not that if someone comes in, I'm not going to turn them away. But they might get to sit in areas they don't like to sit. Amen. This Baptist church, first one's taken, is in the back. Amen. Well, you know, we think we're a bus. You fill from the back forward. Amen. But really, it's a church we should be filling from the front back. Amen. And I remember Brother Charles Spurgeon, not that I remember it, but I remember hearing the account that he had to tell some of his faithful ones to stay home so that others could come in, because they had so many people wanting to come to church. Boy, I tell you, that'd be a great time, wouldn't it? And really, we are in that time. We're in a time where folks need to see that there's still a need today. I'm thankful there's still a Savior that saves. And in the midst of all the confusion, I just read a letter this morning from Brother Danny Flowers, our missionary in France. And he said that they're getting ready to start their second quarantine and shutdown. They're going to be shut down well into 2021. And the government had told them there in France that they weren't going to shut them down again. Well, that didn't last long. Listen, be wise, be prepared. It's coming to America again. And we don't know what 2021 is going to hold, but I do know who holds it. Amen. And we're just going to rejoice in him. And so you come, we'll get some help, be it through YouTube or be it through in-house. And I'm looking forward to having a revival. I think the church needs it. I feel that I need it. Amen. And just excited to see what God has in store. Amen. Well, that's all the announcements I have. We don't take up offering anymore, but yet there's still a jug at the door, and we can be faithful in giving, and I'm thankful God gives to us as well. Amen. Well, Brother James, you want to sing a choir special?
Yes, sir.
What you got, brother?
I think it's the fire song.
Amen. Amen. Yes, we do.
Page number 66, folks.
Yeah. Page 66, everybody, in your choir books. One of our good old choir songs here we love very much. Let's all please stand, stretch your legs. Sing it like you mean it, amen. Everybody got it? When you get it, you can stand if you're able to stand.
I shall not forget the day when I heard my Savior say, come unto me,
never gone out. It's never gone out. Though Satan has tried many times to make me down, but when I feel that warmth inside, I know my soul is satisfied. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. We'll sing that last verse one more time. Since Jesus kindled the flame, things have changed. No, I'm not the same. He, with his great eternal love, y'all sing it now.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn to page number 29.
Amen.
It's great that Jesus came to this earth, but if he wouldn't have never died on that cross, we would have never had the opportunity to be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Page number 29, if you will, let's stand, please.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day.
Let me pick it up a little bit, brother.
All right.
Okay, one more.
Was it for crimes that I have done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day.
Number three.
Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day.
Number four.
But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day.
Amen.
Amen. Well, what a blessing. You may be seated. Amen. What a blessing it is to be here today. Hope that you came looking for a blessing. Amen. It's always good to come to the house of God and thankful for what God does and how He does it. He never fails. Amen. Never fails. And I'm thankful for His faithfulness to us in spite of us. And just how God always shows up. Amen. Just shows up. And I'm thankful for that. All right, Jacob, I'll get this on. Amen.
Before I go any further, Brother Jeff, are you going to close? On behalf of Northside Baptist Church, Brother, it's that time of year again.
It is, Brother. It is.
And we sure appreciate your service to the Lord and your love for Northside Baptist Church and its members. And we want to give you a little token of our appreciation, Brother. And it's close to my heart again.
Amen, brother. It went down a little bit. Amen. Amen, brother. Thank you.
Well deserved.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I'll shake your hand if you want. Fist bump? All right. There we go. Amen. Amen. I appreciate the church. I really do. I appreciate the love for the church, the love that the church has for the pastor and his family. And I do thank you very much for the love offering and just how you care for us. And you know, I was talking earlier, it was just kind of nice to all be in here, and everyone's at their little seats and their little cubicles. I've told you before about the first Baptist church in America. When we went there to Providence, Rhode Island, and we looked at the first Baptist church of America that was started by Roger Williams, was the pastor, and it had in each pew was actually divided off. And it had a barrier. I mean, you couldn't necessarily go to the next pew, and it was really kind of good because you could just let your youngins run, and they couldn't go anywhere. There was had a little gate door like that you'd walk through, and then for them to take off up offering, Brother Scooter, they had long sticks that was attached to the offering box. And it would be like a little box that they would send over to it, and they would be able to get the offering, and then they'd bring it back. And now, granted, you know, by the end of that, I guess if someone didn't give, you talk about be able to reach them. Amen. And Brother Jenkins used to always say that when you take off offering, you need to hold it in front of them and wave it a little bit. But, you know, what a blessing it was. We were kind of in our little cubicles. Granted, they're divided off with not so much a gate, but yarn. Amen. And I thought the yarn was better than caution tape. Amen. Jonathan wanted us to get some caution tape and divide everything off, and I was like, yeah, no. And so we've got that, and we were all in our little areas, but it was nice to just be able to carry on, and we were all talking as a big old family, and it's just nice to love one another. And I do appreciate the love that the church has towards the pastor. You know, I've heard horror stories of pastors that talk about churches that are just hard to pastor. And I'm thankful I don't have one of those. God knows that I couldn't do it. And I know I don't pastor you. God has to pastor you but through me. But I'm thankful I don't have those headaches. I'm thankful that you all follow and you're eager to follow. And so it's a blessing to pastor you. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. We'll be here all the rest of this month unless the rapture takes place, and then I don't care. Amen. I'm not going to be here to preach it. So Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1 is where we're going to start. We'll look at these first 7 verses again and preach another message. And then tonight we'll be back in this passage. And then next week, Lord willing, I'll give you a little bit of, introduction to next week. We're looking at verse number 8 through verse number 20 for the next 2 weeks. Amen. So I'll preach 4 messages out of 1 through 7 and 4 messages out of 8 through 20. And 8 through 20 is a lot more verses, so you're going to have... No, I was going to tell you it's a lot more time, but not necessarily. Amen. Luke chapter number 2. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word when you get there. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city." Verse 4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as his spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, just how you take care of us. Lord, I'm thankful for the sweet spirit that we've already had, the songs that we were able to sing, and Lord, the fellowship that we had before the service began. And Lord, I do rejoice in your truth that we have today, but Father, I really wholeheartedly believe that we didn't just come here so that we could just enjoy one another. Lord, we came here so we can enjoy you. I pray, Lord, that you would meet with us this morning. As we come and we praise you and we worship you, Lord, I pray that you would remind us what a great Savior we have in you and what a great God you are to us. Lord, help us freshen it today, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look at this passage of Scripture. I can't help but be reminded of 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust." And you say, "Well, preacher, I don't understand what that would have to do with anything in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 4. I find these exceeding great and precious promises." You know, I look at the Christmas account, or we always call it the Christmas account, the birth of Christ, and I realize that it's a promise from God that's always been. You know, I'm thankful God can still be taken at His Word.
Amen.
Amen. You know, this world is wanting to change it, and Satan is driving that train that says you need to change this, but aren't you glad that what God said is what God meant? And He had promised the birth of Christ all those years before Christ ever came. And so I look at this promise, and may I tell you, this is an exceeding great and precious promise. In fact, there's no greater promise than the promise of our Redeemer. Amen. I'm telling you, of all the promises in the world, I know that there's many. I don't know, now that we're on YouTube, how many have noticed some of these get-rich-quick schemes on YouTube? You know, there's this one that'll tell you that he can make it to where you're making $10,000 a week. Brother Scooter, that sounds great, doesn't it? Until you have $10,000 a week and you realize that with $10,000 a week would come more headaches. Amen. More heartache. I know of a man that said he learned how to spend what he had, so he needed to make more so he could learn how to spend it. Amen. And the problem is because we're covetous, the moment we make $10,000 a week, we'll want to make $11,000 a week. Amen. That's just the way that we are. But I'm thankful God didn't promise us great wealth, but yet instead great riches in Him.
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful that we have this exceeding great. Hold on a second. You guys aren't grabbing this. Exceeding. That means it's more. It's beyond great. Joshua, I don't know what your expectation of great is, but God says that it's past that.
Right.
I mean, something that would be great. Oh, you know, it's like, well, the cat's already out of the bag in that Jacob had got a speeding ticket. And when I found out, I had Jacob on speakerphone when he's telling me that he got a fast driving award. And I said, "That's awesome." And Jeremiah ran to his mama. And he's like, "Mama, Jacob got a speeding ticket. Dad said, that's awesome." Sarah goes, "Dad didn't mean it. He's being sarcastic." Amen. And yet, may I tell you, your level of great, you might go, "Man, that's great." But really, in God's eyes, we're just being sarcastic because it could be so much greater, so much more. We haven't understood the value. Sorry, Jacob. We haven't understood the value.
Is that sarcastic?
No, I really am. It's just a great illustration. It was a perfect time. But I told you, I don't write my illustrations down. God has to give them to me. Amen. And so I'm looking. That was divinely inspired. Amen. But we look at this, and I don't know that we've really understood the value of the promise that God's given us of a Redeemer. You see, all these years ago, He had already promised that the Redeemer's going to come.
I think about the very end of the Bible. And the very end of it tells us about the promise of when it really began. In fact, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." You say, "Preacher, I don't understand what's so precious about Jesus being slain before the foundation of the world." May I tell you that if He wasn't slain, if He didn't shed His blood, that's the only way we're redeemed. In Revelation 5 and verse number 9, it says, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Now hold on a second. I just passed a whole lot of exceeding great and precious promises right there. Can you imagine if Jesus only came for a certain nation? If only a certain nation had hope today. If only a certain economic group had hope today. If only a certain race had hope today. If only a certain demographics of where you lived right now had any hope today. How hopeless we'd really be. But He says it's exceeding great and precious promises. It's more than that. Because it's to every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation. And so I find that the promise was way before His birth. Now hold your place in the book of Luke, but I want you to turn back over to Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, now bear with me, this is just for introduction so that you can understand the first promise that we find that there's going to be a Redeemer. You see, because the innocent had to die for the guilty. Amen. The innocent had to die for the guilty. We think of the coats of skins that was made. By the way, that wasn't coats of wool. That wasn't coats of hair. No, the animal had to die because it was going to be skinned. And it was the coat of skin that was placed over them that shows us where the innocent died for the guilty. That lamb had done nothing. And yet I find here in Genesis 3 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And I look at this, and I find a few words that stick out. I find, first of all, that the Bible tells us that there's going to be enmity between thee and the woman. There's going to be enmity. Now, I want to describe this or give you the definition to the word enmity. And some would say, "Well, preacher, it should be fairly easy." But I don't know that we've grasped this either. The word enmity means the quality of being an enemy. The opposite of friendship. Ill will, hatred, unfriendly dispositions. Now, may I tell you that Satan hates us? He really does. I know that there's some out there that think that they're going to go to hell and party with Satan, and that's the biggest lie that you've ever heard. Because he's going to be tormented, and so are they. Amen. But yet I find that Satan hates us. We're his enemy. I'm not talking about as the saved. I'm talking about just as mankind. But may I tell you, as a saved person, we need to have a hatred to Satan. We need to get to the point where we really hate that old rascal. That we don't want anything to do with him. It's talking about if he was to walk in the room, we'd all give him, Jeremiah, we'd give him a long, hard stare. Say, "Preacher, what's that mean?" That's when you forget your manners. You give someone a long, hard stare. Amen. I know you all looking at me like I'm crazy, but go ahead and forget your manners and let Jeremiah give you a long, hard stare and you'll go, "I just messed up." Amen. You see, I'm afraid that we've came to the place where there's really not enmity between us and the world, us and Satan. You remember that the Bible teaches us that friendship with the world is enmity with God? I'd rather be the enemy of the world than friends with God. Amen. And so we consider what's taking place. He says that there's going to be enmity between the woman and the seed of Satan or Satan himself. We look as well, and I want to give this to you because it tells us in verse number 15 that it shall... between thee and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I want to speak about his heel first. Of course, we know that this is the promise of Jesus coming. And this is the fact that there's going to be a bruising of his heel. Our redemption cost a great price. One part that we've forgotten, how great it is. We've got plenty of babies in here right now. And how great it is to watch them. And Sister Lindsay was just talking about how Silas is growing past his 0 to 3 months. And he's got a belly as much as a baby can have a belly. Amen. And boy, you know, it's fun to watch them grow, and they crawl, and it's fun to watch the steps, and then before you know it, they're 5, and then before you know it, they're 21, and then before you know it, they're 25. Amen. But truthfully, we all look at this time of year, and we go, how precious. But may I remind you the cost of our salvation? The cost to buy us back. Redeem means to be bought back, to be purchased back. It means that someone had to pay the price. I think about our freedom today. And you know, there's many that are unable to walk so that a few can take a knee during the Pledge of Allegiance or the National Anthem. Because freedom is not free. Freedom costs. May I tell you, to be bought back, someone had to pay the price. I know, now listen, I know you're going to get mad at me, but I'm telling you, our government feeds off of this. Because there's no such thing as free health care. Someone has to pay for it.
Yeah.
Amen? There's no such thing. The government doesn't make its money except off of you. Guess who it is that pays for it? Yeah. Amen. We're getting ready to be that time of year again, aren't we? Income tax season. The only one in here that says hurrah is Sister Duke. I say, ah, amen. And so we look at it and we forget the price that he paid. Oh yes, he only bruised his heel. Satan couldn't destroy him. May I remind you that Jesus laid down his life? That no one took it from him? Those Roman soldiers couldn't have killed him. Satan couldn't kill him. But he laid down his life. Why? Because it was the cost of our redemption. I look as well as I think of that sacrifice and the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. I find that the Bible tells us there in Genesis 3 and verse number 15 that he's going to bruise thy head. Now what does that mean? That means a fatal blow. A crush. That he destroyed him. You say, preacher, Satan's still here. Well, let me tell you, Satan knows the end of the book as well as we do. In fact, better. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 20 and verse number 10, it tells us what's going to happen to Satan. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. When's he getting out? Yeah, he's not. He's not. Now I bring us to this because I want us to see something. We are in the craziest year we've ever known. I've never seen a year like 2020. And I know my boys would say that I'm old. Some of you would say I'm not old. Some of you would say you don't know if I'm old. Some of you would say I'm too scared to say if you're old. But listen, the world has been affected this year all by the same pandemic. It's not something that you hear on the news and boy, they're struggling in Africa or they're struggling in some far off country. No, we've known of folks that have died due to a pandemic that's going on. And I know you'd say, well, preacher, they had underlying conditions. Listen to me. If they were able to live with those underlying conditions before, may I tell you what it was that brought them to the point? Amen. May I tell you where our world is today? They want proof that there's a God. The proof's in His Word. He promised it from the very beginning and all the way to the end. And aren't you glad that God's promise means that you can count on it? You can take that to the bank. Amen. You can take it to the bank. It's going to come through because God's always true. Why do you think Satan's always trying to change the Word of God? You know, how many have heard about the event that's going to take place December 21st of this year? Y'all hear about that? There's going to be a star. They call it the Bethlehem Star. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? It's not really a star at all. It's really where Jupiter and Saturn will be lined up together to be the brightest item in the sky. About evening sunset, a little bit after sunset, on the evening of the 21st of December, in this area, we're to look to the southwest, and we will see what they're calling is the Bethlehem Star. You say, preacher, why would they call it the Bethlehem Star? Because they haven't seen it since AD 1226. And before that, it wasn't recorded being seen since 2 BC. And you say, what's that have to do with? Well, Jesus was born not at zero, but around 2 BC is the suspected time. Not necessarily in December the 25th. But we know that this world's looking for proof. That they call this the Bethlehem Star. May I tell you that the proof was already there since the very beginning. Why? Because there's a promise of redemption. Notice, if you would, we look and we find, first of all, that it was a precise vessel. A precise vessel. Go back to our passage there in Luke chapter number 2. We find here a precise vessel. And the Bible tells us here, and oh, by the way, Mary is just a vessel that God is using. She's not some supernatural. She's not the mother of God. May I tell you that God was way before her, but she's the vessel, that earthen vessel that God's able to use. Oh, I'm telling you, every one of us should come to that place that God could use us. I'm not going to give you much of a preview, but tonight we're going to look at no room to be used. Amen. I find that, thank God, that God looked down and He seen this woman that was willing to be used of Him, and she was a precise vessel. First of all, I see her purity. And the Bible tells us here that she came with Joseph to the city of David, which was Bethlehem, in verse number 4. And then verse number 5 tells us that she was being great with child, but it was not Joseph's child. I find her purity. First of all, she's a virgin. The Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. He says, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Notice, if you would, over in the book of Luke, chapter number 1. Luke chapter 1. I want you to look at verse number 26. Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. Luke 1 and verse 26. And it says, and in this sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, notice this, a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, notice this, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? Oh, I find that this was a precise vessel. In the Bible, there's plenty that want to change the Bible. A lot of the perversions want to take it and change it from a virgin to a young girl. May I tell you, that's not a hand of God. There's many young girls today that are having children. But I'm thankful that with God, all things are possible. Amen. And it was a precise vessel. God, the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, was coming the way that God said. No other way. And so I look here and I find the precise vessel, but I find in her purity, I find as well the precision. You see, in this vessel, it was very important that it was not the seed of man. Amen. It was not the seed of man. You see, man's seed, man was already corrupt. If we had man's seed, we would have no hope. There would be no Messiah. There would be no redemption. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And my friend, you have nothing to add. And Brother Stephen, you have two little devils sitting right beside you. Amen. And the babies. But those cute, adorable, we've got four babies in here. None of them can say a word. But may I tell you what they all are. What they're all going to grow up to be. Sinner. Well, I would tell you it's because, well, Riley and Hunter, because they're like their daddy. Silas is like his daddy. May I tell you the bad part is we're all like Adam. Every single one of us have fallen short just like Adam. And so as we look at this, and if Mary would have conceived from a man, there would have been no hope. That child would have been just as corrupt as his daddy was. Just as corrupt as Adam was. And so I look at the precision. I'm thankful that it was the treasure of the Holy Spirit that had came in and she had conceived. You see, and because it was important about the bloodline. Now hold on, there's twofold with this bloodline. If we were to look over in the book of Matthew, we'd find the genealogy. Everyone loves genealogy or genealogy. And we think of the account, and we could look at Genesis 5 and look at all the begats. And some would say, "Preacher, I don't understand why that's so important to know where everyone came from." And let me let you in on something. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, gives us the genealogy and the lineage here of Christ. And it starts with Abraham. Now, I know in the book of Galatians that as a child of God, I am of the seed of Abraham. But may I tell you, as a lost Gentile, we have no hope in Abraham. The promise isn't to us. The promise is to the line of Abraham. You remember I had showed you there in Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 9 that he came to all kindred, all tongues, all people, all nations. You know, I'm thankful that in that bloodline it wasn't just for the Jews that the Messiah came. But instead he was a light unto the Gentiles as well. And so I look and I find in the book of Luke. Now listen, I'm going to give you some theology here. I'm going to give you some Bible doctrine or bibliology. And so we're going to look. And in bibliology it teaches us that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and those are the Gospel accounts there in the New Testament. And in those four gospel accounts, they're written to specific people. They're written to a specific group. Now, it's not that they're not all applicable and that we don't read them all and that we don't account for all of them and study them all. That's not what it means. But I want you to understand the one that God's aiming to. In the book of Matthew, it's written to the Jews. It portrays or shows Christ as king. There's a phrase that's in the book of Matthew that you'll find more than in any other book. It talks about the kingdom of God is at hand because it's showing Christ as king. In the book of Mark, it's written to the Romans. And the Romans, it teaches as Christ is that servant. It teaches Christ as a servant. In the book of Luke, it's directed toward the Greeks. Now, Greek, I don't know how many have ever heard of Greek philosophy or Greek. All of your Greek philosophers came in this one idea. They're looking for the perfect man. You say, "Preacher, what's so important about this?" Well, in the book of Luke, it gives us the genealogy account again. And it's it gives us this. Because it ends with Adam. It doesn't begin with Abraham. No, it begins with Christ. That has been begat and so all the way down to Adam. You say, "Preacher, what's so important about that?" It shows that Christ is 100% man and 100% God. You say, "Preacher, what's so important?" He's the Messiah. It was man that had fault, but in Him is faultless because He's 100% God. He's not the seed of man. He's the seed of woman. He's a man-child, but He's God. And I'll go ahead and give you the book of John. John portrays Him or shows Him as God. It shows His deity. And it's written to the world. You know why? Because the entire world needs to see Christ as Savior. And so I look and I find here this precision. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that He didn't have their blood? But aren't you glad that He came to our bloodline as well? Amen. Notice this. Hold your place in the book of Luke, but I want you to look over at Matthew chapter 1. I'm talking about the promise of redemption. I want you to look at this phrase in Matthew chapter number 1, and you'll find this throughout. And I didn't look up all the hundreds of prophecies that Jesus fulfilled in His life, but I just want to point out a few that He fulfilled in His birth. And so I look here at Matthew chapter 1, look at verse number 20. In Matthew 1 and verse number 20. And this is speaking about when Joseph was being told that Mary was conceived from the Holy Spirit. In verse number 20 of Matthew 1 it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou art the son of David. Fear not, and take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying," notice this, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife," notice this, "and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Aren't you glad for a precise vessel? Notice this. I find in our passage a prophesied village. A prophesied village. May I remind you that the place was revealed? The place of His birth had already been revealed. In Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." You say, "Preacher, she went there because they were going to be taxed. Isn't it amazing that God has a way to get you somewhere?" Ladies that have carried a child, she's great with child. I mean, she's just hours from delivery. I wouldn't say days, and I know that it took them time to get there, but I wouldn't say that she was days. It was the fact that any hour, any moment, she could have this child. There is no way that she went, "You know, I think it'd be a good idea. Let's go see Bethlehem. This time of year, it's pretty. The trees are all in full." No! God said, "I'm going to put him there because that's where I said he's going to be born. This is a promise." Look in verse number 4. Where did they go? Bethlehem. You say, "Preacher, it's because he's from that line." Well, that's the line that God said he was going to come from, and that's the line that he came from, and that's where. And oh, by the way, if you look at both accounts in Luke and in Matthew of the genealogy, you find that not only was Joseph from the line of David, but so was Mary. Amen. And so I find here that this place was revealed. You know, it's amazing to me that the place was even recognized. The place was recognized. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" If you were to turn over, and you don't have to, but in Matthew chapter number 2, verses 4 and 5, the Bible tells us here when the wise men had came to Herod at the temple, or at the palace, and said that the king of the Jews was to be born. You know where Herod went? He went to his scribes. And he asked them, he said, "Where's he to be born?" They already knew. Oh, Bethlehem. He's to be born in Bethlehem. You know what bothers me about this? Is they already knew where he was to be born. And they didn't go with the wise men to see if he was. May I tell you where we are today? There's many out there today that want to know that there's a God, or they say they do. But you know, when things really get bad, they know where to go. They'll call you up and go, "Hey, will you pray for her? Hey, we need prayer." And maybe they won't call you up, but they'll post it all over Facebook in between all of their other garbage, and they'll post it on there and they'll say, "We need the God of heaven to hear from us." You know, it's funny to me. I had friends when I was at work that would laugh at how I lived. And yet, when their life was flying apart, I was the first place they would come because they knew I had the truth. And they only wanted it while their life was falling apart, because then once they could get it where they could at least carry it, you know, it's recognized. The truth of the matter is the promise of God is recognized. You know, it always got me, Allie, when we would pass out gospel tracts. And this year, the town's not having our Christmas parade, but we would pass out so many gospel tracts. I mean, it was the greatest opportunity that we had. But there would always be someone that when you try to give them a gospel tract, they'd be like, "Ooh, I'm at a Christmas parade. Why in the world would I want a gospel tract? No. I guess they're waiting for that red man at the end of the line of the parade to come by. And boy, they're going to put their hope in him and Mrs. Claus. Woo! Well, that's going to help them." No, even when their life's falling apart, they're going to recognize the promise. You know how many people are out there today that are going to celebrate Christmas? And they're going to recognize it. They're going to tell you he was born in Bethlehem. And that he's the Messiah. They recognize, but they won't receive. You say, "Problem? Why? Why won't they do that? Why won't they come?" Well, because I find a problem verdict. A problem verdict. Notice this. In Luke chapter number 2, we find the ever so popular passage at the end of verse number 7, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, it's always bothered me as I've gotten older, as I've had children of my own, this account. All of the family was there. Listen, Mary's line was through the line of David. Joseph's line was from the line of David. Jacob, you were born here in Georgia. Jacob will tell you he's our only Georgia baby. He's the only one in our family that was born here in Georgia. Sarah got a brown bag special of bologna sandwich after she had had Jacob at the Wynn Army Hospital there at Fort Stewart. And Jacob is the only one of our boys . Well, and I guess Jeremiah as well, because he was in Wichita. But Jacob didn't have grandma and grandpa here. Your great-grandma and grandpa had left just right before you were born, because they were here for John's birthday. And then the rest of the family came as soon as they could. But I remember when Jonathan was born, I don't even know that Sarah had delivered yet, and they were already there. And they would have been there for Jacob, but they didn't know because it was a rush. They would have been there for Jeremiah, but it was a different situation. I guess what I'm getting at is, out of all of these people that knew what was taking place, they made the bad judgment. That's a problem verdict, is a bad judgment. You see, you know how many people make bad judgments every day? All the time. But may I tell you that this is an eternal bad judgment. This is eternally a problem. You see, man's corruption
or the corruption of man's judgment because they didn't see their problem. They didn't see His promise. Do you think that Mary didn't tell her mom and dad that this was from God? She told Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mom. Don't you think she would have told her parents? You say, preacher, you don't even know that her parents were alive. Don't you think she would have told her aunt and uncle? Don't you think she would have told someone? Don't you think Joseph would have told someone? And the only ones that were there was a mom and a dad and whatever livestock would have been around the stable. Why? Because they didn't see their need for a Savior. They didn't see a need for the promise to come for them. Brother Richard, I don't know how much you pay attention to politics. I know, just by a guess, very, very little. Other than the fact that he's going to be running for president in 2024. But you listen to the promises of our government. And most of them you can weed out because they're really not for us. Amen? Who are they for? Them. You know, they're talking about, and right now, and I'm not trying to chase that political rabbit, and I don't know that people need $600 a week for unemployment, but they're talking about the stimulus needs for America and American people. And they're talking about the federal government being shut down again because they've got to get a budget and the federal package has to get passed. And you know, there are some recommendations about making sure that you take care of the people before you take care of the big government. And you know what the government officials have decided to do? Forget the people, let's take care of the big government. You know why? Because their promises that they made during the election campaigns, listen, they're just empty promises. But it's sad when someone sees that they don't have a need for the promise that God gave them. That's the only promise that has value. It's the only promise that's for sure. It's the only promise with guarantee. You see, they would have seen Him as a baby. They saw Him as a man. They saw Him as a rabbi. They saw Him as a good man. They saw Him as a prophet. They saw Him as a carpenter's son. But they did not want to see Him as Savior. And so I find as well that through the promise of redemption, we have a promised victory. Take your Bibles now. Turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And look at verse number 45. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 45. I want to remind you why we're here today. I want to remind you of why Jesus needed to come. It was because of that first Adam. It was because of Adam, our father Adam, that we've been passed down that sin seed all the way through, that we needed another one to come. And so I find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 45, the Bible says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And so I find here the promise of victory. I find the promise of salvation. I'm thankful that the second Adam came. I'm thankful it was the last Adam that was needed to come. Amen. In John chapter number 3 and verse 36, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life.
And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Boy, listen to me. I'm so thankful that we can believe in our heart, not our head. Amen. Oh, the Bible teaches us that it's not in the believing here, but the receiving here. With the mouth man make profession, but it's with the heart that man believes. Oh, we've got these signs all over. Believe. Some are believing in Santa Claus. I'm telling you, they're open-ended promises. Amen. But I'm thankful I'm believing in the one that came, the only begotten from the Father, the only one that can bring eternal life, the only one that can promise victory. Amen. And we have the promise of salvation, no corruption from Him. Oh, that we can inherit eternal life. And so I look here as well in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. May I remind you, that's a promise. Amen. Shall be saved. That means if you'll call on Him, you will be. Amen. That's a promise that's not open-ended. It's a promise that's not empty. It's a promise that doesn't hold up. No, that's a promise that'll take you all the way. And I'm thankful that we'll be saved. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15, it says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. May I tell you, that as much as a promise too. That's a guarantee. If your name's not written down because you haven't called on Him, my dear friend, you have no promise of salvation. But I'm thankful. I'm not just waiting for eternity to enjoy the promises that God gives. Some are going to say, well, preacher, you know, I'm waiting, and boy, I'm thankful. Allie, how old are you now? 10 years old. When are you going to die? You say, preacher, that's awful to ask a 10-year-old. Well, if I didn't know her daddy, I wouldn't have. But she doesn't know. Jeremiah had asked us on the way to church today. He goes, how many miles will the van go? And we're like, you mean how fast? He's like, no, how many miles will it go? I told Sister Sarah, I said, we're at 190,000, 10 miles, 11 now. We've came from the house. Amen. And she's like, man, that's a lot of miles, folks. Amen. I'm thankful. Listen, praise the Lord. He can make it go. I had 323,000 on my Cougar. Amen. But Jeremiah's like, well, Dad, how many miles will it go? I'm like, I guess until it quits. You know, some of us look at salvation the same way. It's going to be good when we get there. But may I tell you that we have the promise, not just of the promise of salvation in this promise of victory, but we have the promise of satisfaction. Satisfaction. There's some that just don't get it. Brother Stephen, my wife gets mad at me because most of the time I know what I'm getting for Christmas. Don't I? Jonathan, one year, he had bought something for me. He had bought something for himself first, and I liked it. And I was like, boy, son, those are nice. They were some nice study books. It talks about the New Testament life and in the customs of the Jewish people. And I was like, son, that's really nice. It's got some interesting finds in it. I say, preacher, how much have you read it since? Once. But he's like, Dad, I got you something. Now, listen, Jacob and John's bank accounts are linked to Sarah and I's. So that if I need to distribute money or whatever, and so that if something happens to them, they're in the hospital, I can get their funds or whatever I need to do until they get married. I said it'd be wise to have it to where there's more than one person on the account. And I told Jonathan, I was like, yeah, hey, I'm glad you ordered those for me. He's like, did you look at my account? I was like, no. And boy, right then I already knew what he got me. And Sister Sarah's like, you always know what you're getting for Christmas. Well, I had the bank account. I don't cheat. I don't look. But you say, preacher, what are you getting at? Now listen to me. I guess what she's getting at is I'm not waiting until Christmas to find out. You know? I'm guilty. I'm the one that if I want something, I see it. Okay, I need that. You know what I need right now? I need a tire for my tractor. That's what I need, is a tire for my tractor. You say, preacher, what are you getting for Christmas? A tire for my tractor. Amen. Best Christmas gift ever. I can't fit it underneath the tree. Amen. Mama doesn't want the tractor in the house. But listen.
Why would we wait till eternity to enjoy salvation? Why do we want to wait until we die to enjoy the life that Jesus has given us? The book of John, chapter number 4. Jesus is speaking to the woman there at the well there in Samaria. And he says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And you say, "Preacher, that's down the road." No, that's right now. We get to enjoy. Listen, I have the promise of victory right now. I'm on the winning side. I'm not going to die. Victory in Jesus. Boy, I'm thankful to be blood-bought. I'm thankful that Satan can't steal my joy. You know, Jesus has promised in John 10 and verse 10, "And I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." My dear friend, have you really grabbed a hold of the promise of redemption that it's for you? You remember I showed you last week that "for unto you is born." Why did he come? It was for you. It was for me, but it was for you too. Why was the promise given? Why did God tell Adam and Eve and Satan? By the way, Satan already knew he's a loser. And why did he tell them that he was coming for me? So that I could look back all those years later and I could see that the promise that he gave meant that I already have life today. Isn't that great? I don't have to wait. I can enjoy it right now. Are you really satisfied in Him? Or are you just getting by? Are you just waiting and going, "Boy, I'm thankful I'm going to go to heaven." And it's going to be great. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be great to be in heaven because my Savior's going to be there. But may I tell you, it's really great now because my Savior's already here. And we can be satisfied in Him. Why? It's a promise. I come that they might have life. I'm thankful he didn't stop there. But he said, "and have life more abundantly." You say, "Preacher, I have problems and I have trials." Who doesn't? But I have life more abundantly. Because I have the promise of satisfaction. My satisfaction isn't in the things of this world. But instead, it's that last Adam. Because the first Adam failed. But the last means that there's not going to be another because there's not a need of another because I have the promise of the redemption. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I'm thankful that You love me. Lord, I'm thankful that You came to die for me. Lord, I'm thankful that You showed me that I'm not waiting to see some star that they haven't seen in over 800 years. But instead, Lord, I can see the promise that You gave me from the very beginning of the foundation of this world. That You was going to come to die in my place. And Lord, what victory that gives for an eternal salvation. But Lord, it also gives satisfaction in today. That I don't have to wait until I die to start living. But instead, I can let You live in me. And I can live in You. And Lord, just thank You. Father, help us today. Maybe there's some here today that, Lord, it's been a crazy year. It's given us things that we had no idea was coming. But Lord, it hasn't shaken my foundation in You. Lord, maybe there's some that would, Lord, they've just grabbed a hold of some frustration. Lord, I pray that today they'd release it and grab a hold of Your promises. Father, would You just touch us today? Take this invitation, use it to Your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Music softly plays. I encourage you, my friend. God spoke to your heart. Would you come? Would you come? Amen. Promise of redemption. You're here today. Know without a shadow of a doubt if you died right now that you're going to heaven. Would you say, "Preacher, I hope I am." You know God has something far greater for you. He's got a promise that you can know right now without a shadow of a doubt. That if you died right now, and I know I just asked Allie, when, how old is she going to be when she dies? No one knows, because no one knows what tomorrow holds. But may I tell you that I know that when I die, no matter how old I am, I know where I'm going. Because He came and He died for me, and I've trusted Him. Not trusted and trusted only. How about you, my friend? He died right now. Are you going to go to heaven? Say, preacher, there's a good chance. No, I don't want you to take a chance. I want you to come in confidence. Well, I'm thankful there's a guaranteed loser. I'm thankful I have a guaranteed salvation. A guaranteed promised victory. How about you? Frustrations in this world getting a hold of you? Isn't it time to release them? Grab a hold of the promises that God gives from the very beginning. God is for us. Who can be against us? Lamb had to come.
That's all I have to claim is through the blood that Jesus shed for me.
Aren't you glad? It's through the blood. It's not because of something I'm going to try. It's not because of something I'm going to have to work at doing. Nope, it's just going to be, I'm going to trust in Him. He's going to take me all the way. There's a promise of redemption. He was born in Bethlehem, died on Calvary, rose the third day, lives forevermore. Still through the blood. I don't know what your need is, but it'd be a good day to pray. It'd be a good day to just lay it down. Give it to Him.
When the winds of sorrow threaten me, and they turn.
Aren't you glad that He loved you all those years ago? When that first Adam was created, the last Adam was already on His way. We don't have to be earthy, but that we can be heavenly. We don't have to be corrupt, but that we can put on incorruption. God's still good. No matter what happens, no matter what 2021 holds,